Blog Talk Radio.
And I think the audio actually dropped out on us. Dropped out on us there. I was waiting for the rest of the intro, but I don't think it played through all the way. That's a glitch on the on Blog Talk Radio side. But yes, this is the Star Chamber Show, episode number 153, if you're keeping count. And this is Steven Zimmer, and the other fellow chuckling gentlemen that you hear are Michael West and Daniel Dark. So good evening, gentlemen. That was
it's awkward. Another lovely day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, we missed our last good run of Pete Fry riffage there on that guitar playing, and it caught me a little off guard there. But hey, we're ready to rock and roll with this show tonight. So it's
if you are watching the awesome, you know, for those of you that are out there watching the Masked Singer and everything, come on over to our side and everything so that you can actually do like we're trying to do and learn more about your business.
Yes. So Michael West,
Masked Singer's not going to put any money in your pocket.
No. Well, welcome back, Michael. You've been having some fun lately. So you actually have something cool to tell us about as far as your personal update before we get into the meat of the show and our awesome guest.
I spent the week in Hilton Head last week, and it was enjoyable. Yeah. I will say though that I did miss my office a little bit, but you know, if you're riding in the shade of palm trees is not a bad thing.
No, I'll take your scenario in a heartbeat. I was lamenting earlier today to somebody. I was like, God, it's almost 8 years running. I haven't had a formal vacation. So, yeah, if you want to pack me into your car the next time, I'll go.
It was a working vacation. I would spend the mornings and evenings writing, but during the afternoons we would go sightseeing and whatnot, and found a nice bar that was right there on the beach.
Nice.
That was, yeah, it was really nice, and they had I've been to Hilton Head. This is the third time I've been to Hilton Head. I've been once in October and twice in February, and this is the only really bad weather that we've had. It was bad by Hilton Head standards. You know, compared to what I left behind, it was great. But it was cooler there. It was like in the 50s most of the time, there was one day. You know, my favorite part about going to Hilton Head is riding my bike on the beach. That's what I really like to do. It really, you know, relaxes me, gets me in the zone. I wasn't able to do that every day like I wanted to, just simply because there was one day when the conditions on the beach were the wind was blowing so hard, the sand was blowing like snowdrifts. I mean, it was literally like snaking. The sand was snaking across the beach and blowing across the beach like it was snow.
Nice.
And then there was another day when it was so foggy, I literally felt like I was in, you know, Stephen King's The Mist.
Well, with you, it could be both that and Tremors combining. Like, you know, you never know with Michael West out there.
Yeah.
Giant things under the surface or The Mist, you know.
But I was able to get 1.5 chapters written, so I think it was a good time. So productive.
Very cool, man.
Is this one for the Kraken or is it for the new shark harm.
I did get some, and still with my parents stayed behind for another week. They had another week there. They're bringing me my espresso rum, which was delish.
So your parents stayed behind for another week. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, because it's actually their condo or their timeshare.
Oh, cool.
And so my brothers and I kind of rotate, like I was supposed to go like every fourth year, but sometimes it's every other year, depending on who's available and who's not. It's like if one of my brothers is unable to go, I'm always like, oh, I'll go.
I can work from there as well. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it doesn't affect me any really. I can work just as well there as I can here. I was happy Saturday night when we got back to come up to my office and go, Daddy's home. My wife was embracing the dog and I was embracing the office. So
the office. Oh man, too funny. And I want to
lay down
a quick
the middle
shout
of
out.
Your Ouija board and
yeah. Yeah, we do have some.
Yeah,
I won't say
everyone
that's in the chat room right now because one of them is our guest coming up here in just a few moments. But I do want to say hi to Thomas Moore, the up and coming, rising, super talented independent filmmaker. And he's hanging out with us in the chat room tonight. So yeah, we're just getting started there. But yeah, I was thinking of you last week, Michael. I was like, man, yes. that sounded like a fun place to be for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then in three weeks I will be at Horror Hound in Cincinnati. So if you're in the Cincinnati area, please feel free to come by and see me and get some books signed and meet Doc Brown from Back to the Future and Nev Campbell from the Scream movies and a lot of other celebrities.
Very cool. Very cool. And Daniel, I know you had a car snafu on your recent event, but you got something coming up, don't you?
Yeah, I've got actually, I have two things coming up this weekend. One of them's a MAC, Murfreesboro Anime and Comic Con, and then the also have the Art Crawl in Franklin, Tennessee, where I'll be signing books there too. So, yeah,
cool.
Either one of those places, you'll be able to find me this weekend. All those
you need to get your
keep up with
you
the
need to get your horse better it, better carrots.
No, I had a event and everything. I had a few events last weekend that I was planning on going to, and my main car decided to quit. The transmission just said, "Oh, I'm not going to take you any further. And I'm going to lock up so you can't even turn on the car anymore."
That's the life of the creative. That is the creative's life. Yes. In a nutshell.
Had to get that fixed and everything this last week, and I've got it back. Got it back just the other day or Monday, and drove it today to make sure that it would drive right and stuff. So.
Well, I had the worst drives of my life. Going to and from Hilton Head last week. It's like I drove through the mountains right on the heels of a big drop of snow. It was like 2-3 inches, but it like came like overnight, like right before we got there. So that was fun driving through the mountains in the snow and the ice. And then on the way back, it wasn't snow and ice, but it was torrential rain. And, you know, when rain hits the mountains in great quantities, it turns everything into waterfalls.
You're welcome.
Yes.
We sent that over to you from Tennessee.
Well, that's where I was in Tennessee. I was afraid I was going to get washed off the road because the water was just rushing across the road. And I was afraid I was going to get washed off. And we went into several towns that I just felt so bad for everybody because it was just, I mean, the flooding was just everywhere.
Did you take 24 or 65 home?
24.
You made it through there.
Yeah.
Because right now 24 is shut down with a huge mudslide all the way across the interstate.
Well, in between
Nashville and Clarksville.
Okay, yeah, I hit some of that. It wasn't totally blocked. I was able to go around it, but yeah, there was the start of a mudslide when I went through. It was my knuckles were white and I couldn't feel the tips of my fingers.
Oh Lord!
And it was not a good time. It was not a good time. But
I've got something that will change you to a good time. We've got our guest who's on deck here, and we speak of mudslides and huge torrential rains and snowfall. So we've got this dramatic atmosphere built up, and I am going to – we'll put that in because we want to give her a grand entrance. But the guest tonight is a person I have a lot of admiration for because of her persistence and tenacity. You know, I first met her as an author, and then I became aware she's also a filmmaker, and then over the course of time, you know, she's also grown into quite the mental health advocate, and so, you know, we've got a lot of, she's done a lot of work. She's got a lot of titles in the book world, in the film world, with documentaries, short films, and everything else, embarking on a feature film project we'll be talking about, in fact, and has a new web series as well. So we've got a lot to talk about. And, of course, I am speaking of the one and only Amy McCorkle, who is now on the phone with us live and on the Star Chamber Show. Good evening, Amy.
Good evening. How are you all doing?
Welcome, Amy. We are doing fine. And being in the mental institute, you know what fine means. Freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. So.
Yes.
I was always told it meant feelings inside, not expressed. Like if someone said, like you ask a girl, she's fine. If she says fine, no, she's just holding it in. She's waiting for a better time to lay it out.
Well, we'll give a quick shout out to two of your cohorts, Missy Goodman and Pamela Turner. I know they probably are listening somewhere out there tonight, so don't want to go too deep in the show without saying hi to them. And not at all, because you've been building a nice team around you, Amy. I was just watching you over the years, and you've definitely got a nice little dedicated core that's stuck with you and grown with you. And I think that's a good place to start with is the Amy McCorkle tribe, and how as a creative on your journey, that's kind of woven together your book, movie, and mental health advocacy world. And so, yeah, how did this your team come together and get involved with you on all these levels?
Well, as you know, in the beginning, it was really pretty much me and Missy, and on occasion Pam, who would come and help us on our films. And we're a team now in a publishing house. But it's not all smooth sailing. You sometimes have to run into the bad to find to figure out what's real and what's a negative for you. And unfortunately, on the local level, there seem to be a lot of snakes. And I'm not talking about you or Imaginarium, because that's wonderful. Imaginarium is just a wonderful place to be. And I always look forward to it in October, even if I'm a little worn out from the festival tour by then. I didn't really find a lot of people locally to come on board with me for my films. I always had support. You've always been a big vocal supporter, and I've met people locally at Imaginarium, like Thomas Moore, who will look at my stuff and give me unvarnished feedback. And he's the one, and I think we're in agreement. Thomas is just an amazing talent, and it's just a matter of time before he breaks through.
We are in agreement.
As a filmmaker, like as a writer, I feel like Imaginarium's my home. That's where Imaginarium really hits home for me, because there's a lot of authors there, and you get it. You know, Phantom Fest kind of like has folded in the past, but I'm not talking about Phantom Fest as an entity, but your role in it as the head of the literary department was really where I got my start in 2011. And I didn't even have any published books then. I just had ebook contracts, and mm-hmm. You wonderfully put me on the panels. This was the year. It was called Sweatfest at the Fern Valley.
Oh yes, Sweatfest, Fern Valley Hotel in Louisville, Kentucky. Michael has fond memories of that one.
Oh, I lost 7 pounds that weekend. It was awesome.
But I found that even though there were, I found my footing as a writer on the local scene, like with Conglomeration and the Authors Fair that started off with Frank Hall in Madison, Indiana, and is now with Tony Acree in LaGrange.
Yeah.
And whenever you founded Imaginarium, that became the crown jewel. It was like anchored spring and fall. Like the crown jewel for us was the LaGrange. It would be the Authors Fair and Conglomeration in the spring, and then we would look forward to our third event, Imaginarium, in the fall. And
2014. Yeah, that's when we started there.
And I found lots of authors. It was a very welcoming community. A very giving community. The people who I ran afoul of and made it hard, I really got paranoid for a while. I was afraid to come to Imaginarium in 2016, and I had to knuckle up and do it.
That's because that's the year that I wasn't there, I think.
Scared not to come. That's it.
I apologize.
Year that Michael Noss retaliated by banning him for a month, and then we reinstated Michael for the next year.
I had to go and kiss Michael Noss' ring and ban him for forgiveness.
In
2017 is where Michael got his most epic photo with me in the hallway, which will always remain iconic. Me and Michael walking together down the hallway at Crown Plaza.
And it's black and white too. It's great. I love that.
It's classic. So yeah, we remember that period well, Amy.
But I would say 2016 was a very turbulent year for me. At the end of 2015, the first half of 2016 was very turbulent, and it kind of ran over into 2017 with another individual locally, but by then I had people within the local community and people where I was going, like Indie Gathering and ALS Megafest. Imaginarium was where I got my film's premiere. Letters to Daniel, Breakdown the Bestseller, the proof of concept documentary I did. And you offered me a chance to do a Q&A and have a premiere there, and I didn't even have a film yet. So it all started there with the film. I always wanted to be a filmmaker, but the final nudge was you saying, okay, well, you have this. And then it was upon me to make a film. And I didn't have any money. And you know that feeling, right? Didn't have any money.
I wanted that feeling. I think I could speak for all of us about not knowing about having money. None of us
cheers.
And I wanted to make a movie. So I raised $345 and made a movie. And it did well. It went to 8 different festivals. I won at 4 of them. And I think my crowning achievement with it was at AOF in 2016. It won for Best Social Commentary and the Lewis Mitchell Best Feature or Short Award there. So I was very happy with it. But when I went to Indie Gathering, I started piecing together people who I would want to work with on a film because I didn't know how to do that locally. Locally, I'd been stymied on the local scene. So when I went to Indie Gathering, that's just it's about a 5.5-hour, 6-hour drive to the north in Hudson, Ohio. It's about 20 minutes east of Cleveland, and it's a festival that is not unlike Imaginarium, but when I think of it, I think of it for the film. And it's like everybody who is there is a winner because they have the subcategory first through fourth across all these different genres of film, and then they have the overall award. But there I found actors who I could work with.
That's a big thing.
And they're literally a woman, a casting director who is based in Louisville, came up there with her kids, her actors, and they all competed in the acting competition that they had at that film festival at Indie Gathering. And she was so enamored of me and Missy and the Letters to Daniel project. The thing is, we won 10 awards up there that year for our script.
Yeah.
So she saw that and she was like, okay. And she agreed to do it for free. And the first, it was 2015. We thought we had our cinematographer and our other producer. And what happened was 9 days out from filming, they just said, no, we can't do it. We're not going to come. So I had to call every single location and say, we're not coming. I had to call every single actor who had been cast up to that point. We only had 1 or 2 more roles to cast, and they were small roles. But I had to call all the actors, and I had to call the casting director. It's truly the worst feeling in the world. I knew I could have pushed forward in some way, but I was hanging on by my fingernails at that point, and as far as my mental well-being. And I don't resent those people. They just happen to be flakes, and I'm not the only person they've done that to. They're not malicious people. They've got good hearts, but but a second time, I was told I had $20,000 when the money never even existed. So,
so the and there too, Amy. I understand it happens.
I know.
People out there don't believe these kind of stories, but I'm just jumping in here to say, yes, that absolutely happens much more than you'd like to believe.
I know it happened
really,
to me
depressing.
Too. And I didn't have, I didn't have a house to liquidate. I didn't have any. I had nowhere to turn. I had to say, okay, I'm gonna. And so at that point, I had to decide, well, am I going to get it made? How am I going to do this? Well, that's when the festival director at AOF stepped in. He's also a very successful independent producer, actor, writer. And AOF Megafest is just huge. It's over 15 festivals in one, and they just do amazing things. And he said, this is what I'm going to do for you. He put together a professional pitch package, and I was able to take that around to major producers, like top level. And every time they would say, well, this is, if you insist on directing, it will never get made. And it just got to the point where I said, okay, enough's enough. I'm just going to do this the way I know how to do it. And I had at AOF, I met two individuals, Mark Manis, who is a extraordinarily gifted DP and director, who has worked for ESPN, Versus. He has produced television shows, commercials, national commercials for NASCAR and Motor Oil and Walmart. And Clint Gage, I hooked up with there. He is a gifted editor with 22 years experience in the industry, mm-hmm. and an amazingly talented director in his own right. And I attached them to my project over a 3-year period. And they said, yes, we'll do it. And Mark gave me his terms, and Clint gave me his terms, but it helped that we had been at the same festival and took the same seminar. We bonded over Facebook, and we go, each of us goes to AOF every year. So it's like we get our heads put together, and right now, I just saw Thomas said I need to make my own awards to give myself at Imaginary.
Yeah. Well, that's in the chat room, folks. Yeah, Thomas is in the chat. And Amy also has got a chat room presence there, too.
Oh, and I just saw where Kenzie said she had read letters to Daniel. Thank you very much, Kenzie. Oh, he said it's... And then my composer that I linked up with, I found him in 2016 at Indie Gathering, and they have, and you might tell Kylie and Eric this, they have a composing award where they give everybody the same scene from a movie, and they've got to compose the score to that scene. And that the individual who I linked up with, his name is Valio Ganov, and he's a Bulgarian born composer, and he still lives over there. But the music he's done for my films have raised the level of professionalism on them very easy, hands down. I always call him my secret weapon because he makes my movies. So he's like the emotional heartbeat. And so I went to Indie Gathering. I encouraged him to come to AOF. And that year at AOF, he won runner-up. And you got to understand, they screened about 600 films at AOF that year. And our documentary, Black Gold, The Trail to Standing Rock, got nominated for 4 different awards across 2 different festivals. And one of them was Best Soundtrack, and he won runner-up. And the guy he lost to was winning every other category. So I said, you should be really proud of that. And he ended up becoming the official composer for AOF because Dell found him so talented. And that was from just him being exposed. You know, I really give Dell a lot of credit. To Dell Weston is the festival founder, creator, host with the mostest at AOF. I give him a lot of credit because he mentors me. He mentors several people. He doesn't have to do that. AOF is a festival I go to that even if I don't win, I'm not sad because the level of talent is so great there. You've got, the writer I was competing against, there's a movie called Fort Apache at Appomattox. Mm-hmm. And the man who wrote the treatment and screenplay for that before it got rewritten and everything is a competitor at AOF. And so, you know, when you are competing against the best, it makes you feel proud that your work gets in there. And Imaginarium, what I've loved about Imaginarium the last couple of years is I've seen films that I saw at Indie Gathering and at AOF making their way into the lineup at Imaginarium, and it gives more credence and more credibility to you all. It makes there's not as much time, and so. You know, you're limited in what you can screen, but it's like you get good films in there. And so I've been happy to see that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Annie. Yeah, that's, every year, it grows a little more and definitely takes steps forward. We were thrilled about last year. It took a real big step forward in terms of the community of independent filmmakers, because it really is a family kind of community. And that's an important part of, on the indie film side of things. It's the team family kind of element that I think steps forward in indie film specifically, that makes it a really enjoyable experience. And I think you can relate to that.
Yes, I've been on a set where where the filming went so smoothly, even though it could have been a disaster. And it was like the last morning, everybody's drinking coffee before they go. And it was like someone described it as like that last day of Thanksgiving, the morning after, where everybody's having breakfast one last time. That was the set. That was the feeling on the set of Broken. And I wish for anyone to have an experience like that, because everybody got along. Nobody fought. I've been on sets where it's been the opposite of that too, but I wish if anybody works on an independent film to have that happen, because I found my sound person for Letters to Daniel at Indie Gathering. I found my script supervisor at Indie Gathering. I found my AD at FilmCom. I'm trying to think. I've got some local actors, but mostly I'm getting people from out of state. The people locally, there's some local, but mostly from Ohio, New Jersey, Florida, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Arkansas, and some from Kentucky.
Very cool.
It's not that I'm eschewing local people. I love local people. If they wanted to work with me, I'd say, hey, come on board. But we're down to the last two roles to cast the leads, Amy and Missy, the original people we cast, left the production because they kept getting pushed back. And they didn't feel like this time was worth taking the time off and then not coming. And that's unfortunate. That's rather unfortunate because I've got the equipment. It's moving forward. Thomas, yes, some of Thomas's actors have auditioned for me and have worked for me. And and actually two of his actresses are finalists. They're one of the Amy Missy pairings. So,
yeah, that's March, coming from the chat room. See, it's a fun chat room chatter right now about this. Oh, Lord. Well, shifting gears just a little bit on visual projects, though. I want to make sure that we get plenty of time to cover it. But it's your new series, Amy Unplugged. And I had the honor of being included in one of your episodes from an interview we did at Imaginarium.
Recovery.
Yes. Tell us about this new web series and what you have behind that, because that's an exciting project.
Okay, so Recovery Unplugged was, I'm like, so think of the mental health elements of the show Intervention. And I'm not talking about just substance abuse, but I would say any kind of mental health issue, because usually when someone is using, it's to self-medicate. I wanted to marry that with the elements of a Oprah Winfrey style sit down talk show, and where it would be a mental health advocacy thing, where we would spend part of the time talking about the artist and their work, and then part of the time about, and then part of the time about mental, if they struggled with the mental health disorder, or if they were a caregiver, and talk about how that impacted their personal lives and their professional work. And then I see where you added the web series. So Friday, when I get paid, expect a couple of entries.
Oh.
I've got to pick my favorite. It's hard. There's nine episodes.
Thomas Moore's been celebrating that like every day since we announced that. So, but we were able to decide to fit that into the presentations and all that. And so, yeah, I know, yeah, you and Thomas, I know, are thrilled about that. But we're excited to have it too.
I know it's low budget. I know. I don't know. You know, if it just gets the screen, I'll be happy. That Recovery Unplugged is one of those projects that I pitched it recently to a big time production house. They loved the pitch, but they said a talk show about mental illness is too limiting, and which told me they totally missed the point and tells you exactly why we need a show like that. But they're just worried about the bottom line. Recovery Unplugged is a passion project. I didn't want to wait. So I shot proof of concept episodes. At Indie Gathering, I shot the pilot in two episodes. I interviewed Andrew Cooper. Brandon, he's an author, and you know him. Brandon X. Bell, he is an African-American actor, and he speaks to what it's like to struggle with the mental illness in the African-American community, and where it's the same and where it's different. And I interviewed Thomas. So Thomas has lost weight since then. I think he wants everybody to know. It was a great interview. He was wonderful to interview. And then, of course, there's you. I interviewed you. April Brown. Everybody gave really good interviews, whether they were short or extended. The impact of the interview was really, really I was, for the most part, people were open and honest. And and my goal with that show is to show that there, that you can thrive in spite of the illness, and that if you are a creator, if you're a creative, you, that part of that can be part of the healing process as well.
Well, that's why I'm surprised that that one group had thought that it was too limited, because, I mean, the issue of mental health, I mean, it affects artists of all kinds, with filmmakers, books, comics, traditional art, whatever, music, I mean, across the board. I mean, it, in one form or another, I mean, that is a topic that is relevant for I mean, so many people in the creative community, and in, you know, in the mainstream at large, too, and of course, and but I mean, that's, I mean, limited is the last word I would say for a concept like yours. I mean, it's something that's relevant for so many people, or because even if it's not necessarily a huge problem for yourself, becoming aware helps you deal with, you know, people that you know that are struggling, you know, with these kind of things. And so, yeah, I mean, it just,
well,
it's so valuable.
And,
so.
And for creatives, though, it's always, you know, you can tell another author, you know, hey, you know, I'm really upset because my characters aren't my characters aren't talking to me, and to tell that to an outsider, they're like, okay, need to change your meds, need to.
Right.
Whereas
I know what you're saying, Michael. Yeah.
Another creative will get it. You know, they'll understand. They'll sympathize. Or they may have, they've dealt with it themselves, and they may have some suggestions for you that are, you know, to a lay person would be outside the box. You know what I mean? If you're speaking to someone who has no knowledge of the creative process and what creatives go through, they may treat you one way, whereas someone who has that knowledge and has been there will be much more sympathetic to your cause.
I found that stigma lurks in least likely of places. I've felt it locally. I've felt it not so much at other places, but really weird. I felt it locally from a very specific source, not anyone in the hierarchy of the Imaginarium, people who are volunteers there, people like Steven and Holly and Robin and everybody else, the volunteers, they're all wonderful. But I felt it from a very specific source, and it was hard. It was hard. It led to me being destabilized, and it was truly some of the worst time. I went, you know, when someone says something to you, they often don't, sometimes they don't even, sometimes if they stigmatize you, it's because they don't know. They just don't know. And they're not trying to do anything to you, but what they say can have a big impact on you. And I think it's important to note that my own stepdad, I call him dad because my mom's been married to him since I was 3 years old, so he's dad. In the interview, All in the Family admitted it took him a long time to accept that I would have certain limitations, that mental illness isn't something you just get over.
Right.
I had overcome so many other things, this was just something I was going to have to deal with and learn to manage. And, you know, I think that frustrated him because I was so, he said, you were so bright and you were so talented. You know, sometimes it's hard to accept that. But, you know, to his credit, I never felt it. He just wanted me to get help, and he helped me out a lot during 2016. So Dad helped me get out of a situation that was really bad for me, and I can't I couldn't thank them enough. But that Recovery Unplugged led to these little 10-minute things I'm doing called Amy Unplugged. And Amy Unplugged is just a monologue on the more serious side of talking about stigma and mental health advocacy and how you can work to enlighten people, because you can get mad and cut them off at the knees, or you can use that moment as a moment to educate. And then some people are just not going to understand because they're not willing and they're closed-minded. But most people, I have a greater faith that people, when given the chance, when you put a face on it, it makes it more understandable and it makes them more willing to learn. And that's what my hope with all these projects, Letters to Daniel, Recovery Unplugged, Amy Unplugged, that's what my hope all these projects will do for them.
Well, I still haven't received any of the letters.
Huh?
I think she missed that.
Oh, no.
I still haven't received any of the letters. So.
Letters to Daniel. Oh, my God. That's right. That's awesome. Go, Daniel Dark, Amy. Yes. So he's waiting for his letters. Letters to Daniel.
I got you.
Wrong Daniel. Daniel Craig.
Yeah. When Amy gets on a Victorian kick, that's when she'll send you some letters, maybe. Yeah. Oh. Well, speaking of Letters to Daniel, you are gearing up for a feature film production.
Yes.
So tell us about the project and where it's at now and what we can look forward to with your feature here.
Okay, so Letters to Daniel has shoot dates. We plan on filming June 21st through the 28th. It was going to film in Shepherdsville, Louisville, and Ohio, but it's changed because you know how locations fall through. But it's going to film in Louisville, New Albany, and Shepherdsville. There's a cast, a full cast. Once it's fully cast, will be 44 people. They're not all on the set at the same time. Thank God, because I don't think I could handle that. But
you'll have a cast of 44 people on there.
Yeah, so like the end credits will take a little while because everybody who is cast has a title for their character. They get a screen credit. They get IMDb credit.
Very cool.
Do all of them have speaking on there?
All but a couple.
Wow.
All but a couple. Yeah. It's a 93-page script. And when people would tell me, he goes, well, why don't you produce it yourself? Well, there's a lot of locations to be had, and there's a lot of people to cast. And I didn't think I'd be able to cast everybody, and I worried that some of the lesser parts might go to people who weren't as talented. And that came to, like I was really excited. I wanted to work with these two individuals, Annabelle Monroe and Katrina Michio. And Annabelle Monroe is the queen of AOF. She also runs a festival that's a part of AOF. It's Annabelle Monroe. The point behind her festival is your script or movie has to deal with some kind of social issue or try to make the world a better place. And then Katrina, she she runs a short film festival in New York, and she's the first lady of AOF. Del will get if you'll meet Del, and he'll give you a title. And usually, if you get a title, it means lots of good things are coming your way. Believe it. I had seen Annabelle act before in a really weird film called Gaijin. And it was an experimental film, and it was just the weirdest fucking thing I ever seen. But it was a silent movie, and it was one camera and her, and she did an amazing job. She did something I would never do. She ate raw fish, like a fish, out of the river, like twice. So for the film, and I was like, oh, but I wanted to work with her because she was a good actress. She's originally from Germany, so I cast her as my mother, and she's working with a dialect coach to get the accent down. The other actress is from New Jersey, and you can tell with her voice. She's like, but when she auditioned, the accent got in the way. But then I happened to run across her demo reel online and saw that she really was an amazing actress. Now, my mother is only in the film for 3 or 4 scenes. And I wanted to work with Katrina badly, but I had to look for the next scene that had the most lines. And at that point, it was the therapy scene, and she only really has 3 or 4 lines. So she's coming for those 3 or 4 lines. I couldn't believe these people were wanting to come to work with me. So I would say in all the cases, and like the women auditioning for Amy and Missy, there's definitely 3 levels. You have the first level, who's like the cream of the crop, they're the front runners. Missy's on board. They would really have to mess it up to not get the part. Then there's the next level, and they're good. They're solid, but they're not as natural as the first two are. And I'll tell Thomas, they're your actresses. They're the front runners. But I can't say their names because I don't want them to, like, you know, I don't want to say something and then we can't give the role to them. But they're amazing. We got the hardest thing to come up with is when you've got locations like a movie theater or I had to come up with 4 housing locations, 2 apartments, 2 houses, a movie theater. We're going to film at Village 8. So, and then we got a coffee shop. And we did that locally. We got a local coffee shop. They were wonderful to work with, easy to work with. So we're at the point where I had a meeting with my art director, Angela Ramsey Robinson, who I met at Imaginarium.
Very cool. Yeah, Holly speaks the world of her. Yeah.
I'm meeting with Mark via video chat somewhere, and we're going to workshop the Letters to Daniel script and come up with a shot list. So that's where we're at now. And then, of course, Indie Gathering, I've got actresses and helpers for Indie Gathering. Indie Gathering and AOF are very much stamped all over this picture. But Imaginarium is there too, because I asked if I could use a projector, and you all were nice enough to say you would come and set it up. So Imaginarium has their part to play too, because Imaginarium is featured in Letters to Daniel. It starts off at the 2014 Imaginarium, and it ends at the award ceremony for the 2014 Imaginarium.
That is so cool. So
we're
being immortalized now.
And the film spans 15 years, from October of 1999 to September of 2014.
That's where Thomas Moore will have to make his cameo, is in Imaginarium scenes, running around, looking excited as ever.
Thomas, you know, it's funny. I encourage, I'm going to tell you now, Steven, send Raiden Valkyrie to, send it to AOF. AOF, Indie Gathering, because it's a cool place to be, and there's opportunities there, but AOF has those big kind of opportunities that you're looking for, and they love action and action films, and your film is... It's got a lot of action in it. It's sword and sorcery.
Yeah.
So they like people who go out on a limb and just kind of make it happen. And they reward that. And I think your film would have a nice home there. They have...
AOF just sounds awesome. I've heard you talk about it quite a bit, and that sounds like a fantastic event. And I know Thomas, I think, has been there too. So, but yeah, it's a sounds like a great event.
I think you and Holly or whoever else wants to come, you should enter your film. You get one pass that gets you into everything, except the dinner with Dell and the three award ceremonies. They have an award ceremony for writers, just specifically for the writers, not the filmmakers, for the writers. Then they have the Hollywood Dreams one, and they have a bunch of, and the AOF Black Tie. So those three award ceremonies, filmmakers can come to the writers' award ceremony, but it's fashioned that it's a little lower, it's a little more laid back than the Black Tie events. But yeah, Thomas won last year, and he had his whole team with him, and yes, there was much drinking. He had a good time.
Oh yes, you get filmmakers and authors and all kinds of creatives together. Yeah, it does happen. Yeah, people do drink a little.
It's
bit.
It's in Vegas, so the hotel where the films are shown, their movie theater is in the Palms Theater. It's Brendan Theaters, and they show your movie on IMAX movie screens. And for Raiden, that would be an amazing experience.
Very cool. Well, it sounds like things are looking good for the film production. That's awesome. Give us, before we go into the bonus section of the show, we only have about a minute and a half left on the live show. Give us some contact information for finding you online, Amy, real quick.
Okay. I'm at Amy Lee McCorkle on Facebook. I'm at Amy L. McCorkle on Twitter. I've got all my shows, Letters to Daniel. You can find information on the movie. It's the one that says movie. There's a couple of different things. There's Recovery Unplugged, Amy Unplugged, and Letters, and Beyond Letters, which is mine and Missy's podcast about caregiving and recovery and the creative world and what that's like, looks like after we finish Letters to Daniel.
Very cool.
That's why it's called
Very
Beyond
cool.
Letters.
Awesome. Well, we'll continue the discussion a little bit. The live show may be ending here in just a few seconds, but we will continue the discussion. And I do want to get some book discussion in as a segue. So what is going on with you author-wise, Amy? Because that's how I first met you.
Yes. I have a total of 24 titles published, two titles, but a total of 30 written. Two of them, one is called Something to Believe In, which is a part how-to, part memoir. It's about thriving in the creative industry while coping with mental illness. And The Guardian, which is my take on stigma in the church against the mental illness. So it's not a I hate church piece or I hate God piece. It's a let's do something about this. You know, people aren't lacking. People aren't lacking in any way because they have this. They didn't choose to have this. They don't have some demon residing inside them. Like literally they just had, they're sick and they need treatment and they need compassion. And that's what The Guardian is about. And it's a fantasy. It's like a dystopian like setting.
Very cool. Yeah, because you are a multi-genre writer. I mean, you've written in several genres. And, do you have some other projects coming up and any new genres you're looking to tackle?
Well, writing-wise? I recently finished a script and a feature script, and I worked really hard on it. And it tackles the it's about a bisexual man who, when he encounters someone from his past, is forced to come to terms with it, and so that he might, you know, find peace of mind and be able to move on with his life. And I'm not describing it very well. I actually have it. I have it all written up in Film Freeway. You're gonna get that too. So you'll get to read it. But I gave it to a filmmaker friend of mine to read, and I didn't know anything about him, of his personal life. And he told me, I basically read his mail, and that if he ever talked to his wife about his past, he would want to use that script to do it with. And I felt that was high praise, because I wanted to handle the subject matter with sensitivity. I didn't want it to come off as rude. You know, I wanted to treat the subject with respect and dignity, and I feel like that kind of response makes me feel good, makes me feel like I did.
Awesome. And so, just give us a picture of what upcoming release, do you have any release dates or involving book releases or what do you have coming up as far as your live schedule?
I know that for The Guardian and Something to Believe In, they'll come out at about the same time, and it's around summertime sometime after the film, after the shoot, and I have a time to decompress. I'm working on edits now, but I'm looking to debut it in person at Imaginarium, because the film festivals, I filmed the 21st to the 28th, AOF is July 25th through the August 3rd, and Indie Gathering is August 8th through August 11th. So
very cool.
I'll be exhausted. I'll need time to catch my breath. But that's
all
the
right
plan, to debut them, to debut those novels at the memoir, the how-to book, and the novel at Imaginarium.
Well, that's very, very cool. Well, Daniel and Michael, do you have anything else you would like to cover with Amy before we round out this week's episode?
Well, Amy, is there anything that we didn't cover that you would like to cover?
No, I feel like I've been talking for a long time. Oh yeah, I wanted to say my letters to Daniel teaser trailer and a short script I wrote called Saving Hope, me and Missy wrote, got into the Nova Film Fest, and the documentary Something to Believe In made the artist circle. Not quite an official selection, but an award of artistic and technical merit that we can promote our film with. So I was
very cool.
That was it. So I was happy. I was very happy with that.
Very
and
cool.
Rightfully you should be.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And Daniel, this is your opportunity to pitch letters to Daniel Dark. This is your opportunity.
I don't think that she's got enough training in the medical field for that.
Daniel, you ought to start a Twitter account. There was a Twitter account, and I always thought of you when they were reading it. There was a Twitter account that was done for Andrew Luck, where it was done as if he was writing letters during the Civil War. And every time that there would be a game, he'd write it about, you know, the troops and I are getting ready to head off to, you know. It's like, and every time they read this, I said, you know, Daniel needs to do a Twitter account as if it's tweets from Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
No, I did have one question for, and it's for her and Stephen both, because both of them have dealt with this. If you knew somebody that was wanting to do a movie or something, would you suggest them to do it or to wait?
Never wait. Nobody's going to make your movie for you. If you know, look, go educate yourself. It's never too late to capture your dream, but... You know, it's taken me since, well, it started off as a blog, but I've actually been pursuing it as making a movie since 2015, when I wrote the script in February. And I would tell people, so it's taken about 4 years to get to the point where, and I had to learn some stuff, and bad things happen, but I would tell people, make the movie. No one's going to wait for you. The best way to get someone's attention is to make it. You don't have to rush it when you start to plan to make the movie, but no one else loves your movie idea as much as you. I'm here to tell you. And you better love that idea, because you got to live with it a long time.
Great answer. Great answer.
The same could be said about books and stories, too. You better love the idea, because you're going to have to live with it for a while.
That's true. Absolutely. All right. Well, Amy, I think, we've covered the ground we wanted to cover. And, I wanted to definitely have you on the show, and it's been great to talk to you tonight. And let us know what's happening in the near future, so that we can get you back for some updates later in the year as you move forward with the production and with your web series and your writing projects. And you're going to be a busy bee, that's for sure.
Yes.
But I will let you say goodbye, and then we'll let Daniel Dark and Michael West round us out for this week's episode of the Star Chamber Show. And if you do like the show, show your support by becoming a patron of ours via patreon.com/7thstarpress. That's spelled out, 7th Star Press, and that's patreon.com/7thstarpress. So yeah, become a patron of ours, and you can show your love for the show that way in a big way. So yeah, that's me signing out, and I'll let Daniel and Michael take over here.
Well, good night, everybody.
Yes. And if you're in the Middle Tennessee area, be sure to come out to the MAC this weekend. It'll be on Saturday and Sunday in Murfreesboro, and that'll be a nice little, you know, Comic-Con that, you know, you may not have ever been to before. And I will be there signing books along with, you know, the one and only Johnny Big Daddy Cool and his crew, and doing panels and different things like that. So if you have a chance, get out to the MAC this weekend and support your local authors and your local bookstores. Y'all have a good week.
Yes, you could take a letter to Daniel personally, Daniel Dark, that is, personally, this weekend. So,
yeah, I don't get very many letters anymore, so, you know.
We'll end on that.
After I sent that one to the boss and everything, nobody wants to send them back to me anymore.
We'll send you some letters. Don't worry, Daniel. Take care, everybody, and have a good night. We'll see you next week at 9 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday.
Night, everybody.
Good night.